No, actually, I'm going to take over the show for a little bit. So, this section of the net, we're going to talk about hamvention. So that is the topic du jour. And we've got a few fine stations who have checked in who will be helping me in this task since I did not attend. But I do have some notes from the hamvention. So I've got a list of things here to talk about. I'm going to call on some of the folks that have been at Hamvention. And if you were there and you have not checked in yet, particularly if you happen to be AV8GT, let us know. First of all, most of the discussion is going to be about Yaesu, obviously. Here's something I did not know. They have a mobile mounting bracket for the FT991A. Anyway, I guess I didn't ever check to feel necessary to see if they had one or not, but for anyone that wants to run the 991A mobile, they got a mobile mounting bracket. There are a couple of new Yaesu products at the Hamvention, so I'm just going to mention them here. The first one is kind of interesting. It is a actually kind of a scanning receiver, analog and digital. The Yaesu is doing this in partnership with AOR. They have specifications but no pricing. And, you know, this actually makes a lot of sense. So this is kind of a move into using SDR technology. It is just a scanner, but for Yaesu to be getting that experience with SDR technology and handheld equipment is, I think, important to us all. So it receives a number of digital modes. We don't have pricing on it yet, and I'm just going to throw it out there to anyone that was there at Hamvention and maybe got to talk to somebody about this scanning receiver. And my question was, does it receive fusion? Because I don't think I noticed that in the list. But anyone out there, well, let me see. Let me go to Warren. Warren, do you have any information on that receiver?
You know, I did not look at it, so I'll pass. I have nothing to add on the handheld receiver.
This is K3UCV with information on that.
Okay, very good, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening to everyone on the net. Sorry I didn't check in. I just kind of got in here late. But I did want to let you know, sounds like Fusion will be available on that receiver. Just to answer your question, that was the information I was given while at Hamvention. And I will turn it back over to you there. This is K3UCB.
AB8DT.
List of attendees. And somebody will turn you purple on the screen. Very good. There is information on the Yaesu website about that scanning receiver. It does DMR, P25, all the usual stuff you'd expect in a good scanning receiver. I'm going to mention at this point hamoperator.com. So if you go to hamoperator.com and there's a link under recent news, Hamvention 2018 recap. And I've got three links there for you. And on the links page, of course, we have other links like all of Yaesu's websites and stuff like that. But there are three links I have up there. And if anybody has any others, let me know about them. The first link is the Yaesu Hamvention 2018 official Fusion presentation. It was unofficially presented because the recording got botched and John had to do it again, and I think he did it at 3 in the morning because he sounded tired. But if you want to see the essence of the presentation they gave, that's it. The second item up there is courtesy AV8DT. It's a scan of something they were handing out at the booth about new Wires X node software, which may be very interesting for a lot of people. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then I was able to scrounge all of YouTube. Believe me, I spent dozens of hours looking for the best FTDX 101D video. I found one courtesy of VA2PV. And if you want to see the FTDX 101D, which is, by the way, their SDR HF rig, there's a YouTube link on that, and we'll talk about that radio a little bit later as well. Some of the other things happening, there's a thing called YES. This is the YESU education system, and hopefully they're going to be doing some work to make it a little easier to you know, they got the manuals, but sometimes when you want to do something, it's a little hard to figure out. So hopefully this YESU education system will help with that. So referring to that second link on Ham Operator, the new Wires X node software, you can go ahead and click on that. And, of course, I printed out a copy of it. Anyway, I found the drawing to be a little bit confusing. That drawing at the top of the page also appears in John's presentation. But here is the essence of it. If you have an FT2DR, an FTM100, or an FTM400, you can, when this is released, connect those radios to a computer and have them operate as a node. And you don't have to have any ports forwarded. So there are some limitations with this. You do not need an HRI-200 to do this, but you will need an HRI-200. I think what the idea here is that, you know, rather than driving around with a DV4 Mini plugged into a Raspberry Pi, you know, that kind of stuff, to get on the DV4 network or whatever, then bridge over to WireX. This allows you to directly connect to a Wires X room. So you will have to connect to a room. You'll have to have a Windows PC because this will be the Wires X software. And it will just, you'll tell it what you want to do, whether you have an HRI-200 or not. If you don't have an HRI-200, it's going to ask you for a COM port that your radio is plugged into. And then you'll go from there, and then all the room kind of stuff will be turned off. The reason you don't have to forward ports on this is that this node, if you will, or kind of a hotspot, is not a server anymore. To be able to be called or to have a room, you have to have incoming ports. So the limitation on this device here without the HRI-200 is that nobody can call you. You have to call somebody else, which is probably fine because you'll just connect to a room that you usually connect to. Anyway, the way I read this is that you have to have an HRI-200 so that you can register to be part of the Wires X network. No, it won't work with anybody else's radios. And you don't necessarily need to, I mean, you don't need your HRI-200 with you, but if you want to do any of those things like have a room or something like that, and some of the other features, some of the control features and things that are in Wires X, you'll need the HRI-200. So this is really a very basic mode. Another caveat for the FT2DR users is that you're going to have to buy a SCV or SCU-19 cable. That's a USB to serial interface cable, and a CT44, which takes the microphone combination microphone speaker jack and splits it out to a separate speaker and microphone and run that to the computer. And I suspect what that is to be able to support the analog side of things. So I don't know how necessary that second cable is if you don't want to support analog. But anyway, we'll see. The target is, I would say, August for the software. John says July 28th. My experience in my career has been that whenever anybody says a date near the end of a month, it's the next month. So this is probably not going to come out until August. Let me throw it out there again. Joe, are you set up and running? And Joel, do you have anything to add?
I am just in the process of unloading my car and listening along. Sorry, Chris. Sounds like you're covering it pretty well, though. N0JOL.
Okay, let's toss it over to W4IOD. This is probably something you paid attention to. Any comments?
K9EQ, W4IOD, Otis here in the Stamping Ground. Chris, we enjoyed your presentation in Xenia. We actually stayed around for that. Most folks were bugging out, but it was important enough to us to stay and listen to what John was going to present. And actually very interesting, excited about it. We've got the cables and waiting on the firmware, so we'll get the laptop squared away, but it's going to be fun. And the new scanner that you brought up, I wished I could comment more on that, but I want one. I'll tell you that. If it does what it's advertised to do, I definitely want one. And I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of folks. I seen Ron from a distance, but I stuck around there, and he got out of the room before I actually got to meet him in person, but I actually made it in on his note up there, and we had a good time. They actually had a drawing there at the end where they pulled five names out of the hat, and I come away with some good Yaesu swag, if you will, a nice coffee mug and a nice jacket. So, very good time. Actually laid the eyeball on the 101 along with the Kenwood, and it's just one of those things, so much to do in so little time and so many people, but we'll be back next year. K9EQ, W4IOD, a very good evening to all, and we'll listen in. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, very good, Otis. Thanks for stopping in. Anybody else with any comments on that, on the new Wires X, what shall we call it, hotspot capability?
AB8DT.
AB8DT. Well, Ron, we'll log you in. Thanks for scanning that document, and let's see what you have to say about it.
All right, good evening, Chris, and everyone else on the net. I do have some information on the on that handheld receiver. I did grab a pamphlet on it, so I did share a couple of the some of the pages. There's two of them, I think, the front page and then the second page of that handheld receiver, and shared it on the Facebook page. As far as digital modes, it will do C4FM, DMR, P25, Terra, DPMR, NDXN, DCR, and DMSK, along with the analog FM, wide FM, AM, USB, lower sideband, and CW. Looks pretty neat. It's a small device, nice size screen, and I'm not sure what all it will pick up. It does, in the back of the specifications, does say C4FM, and then parentheses V/D mode, so I don't know if it's going to do voice and data, so maybe you'll see some of the information come across the screen, whatever you know, call signs or GPS information that comes through on C4FM, so maybe that's just an assumption that I'm sure it'd be capable of it. It's got, like I said, a nice screen to it. And another neat thing, once he has a recorder on it too, so you can record traffic that's coming across, and you can put a little micro SD card up to 32 gig into it, so it has some pretty good features to it, along with 2,000 memory channels and various scanning capabilities, so that looks kind of neat. And then, I'll take a break here a second. And as far as the Wires X portable digital node function, I'm gearing up myself to get all the necessary cables to give that a try, because I'll be interested in that when I go traveling and being able to get into Wires X Direct instead of going through either reflector on the through a OpenSpot or a DB4 Mini, so that'll be nice to be able to do that. And it sounds like it's kind of bare bones as far as requirements, so you don't need to have anything that as far as a laptop or maybe even a tablet with the minimum requirements in order to operate the software. So I'm sure it's going to be all Windows based, and plug the FT2 is what my plan is, along with the proper cables like you've mentioned already, and I purchased a an FT70 to go along with that, so carrying around two HTs and a small computer will give you the portable node. So that's kind of a neat idea, and then be able to get back into Wires X Direct instead of going through a bridge. So back to net. Back to you, Chris. This is AB8DT.
Okay, very good, Ron. Thank you for the feedback then. And we'll sure be interested in that node. So while you were talking, I did do a little bit more research about the only mode that portable receiver doesn't receive is like quantum entanglement at a distance. But boy, if you wanted to like have a scanner that can do P25 and DMR plus D-Star and C4FM, that's really a cool thing. This is the interesting thing about that radio. It is every indication here is that it's being made by AOR, and this is a company that is in the business of making scanning receivers. If you go to AORJA.com, which is their main website, there it is, AR-10DV10, and they've already released a firmware update for it. So this has been on the market for a little while. And if you look carefully at the AR-DV10, it looks a lot like an FT2DR. You look at the knobs, the antenna, the little molding around the knobs, the same screen, same button location, same speaker location. It just looks like it's been elongated a little bit. So that's obviously some of Yaesu's technology. So there's real cooperation going on between these two companies, so it's a pretty interesting thing. Okay, well, we've gotten through that. Another announcements were made. The repeater program to get the refurbished repeaters, the DR1FRs, is scheduled to end at the end of June. So, you know, you always have to have an end date on something. It may or may not get extended after that. Nobody knows at this point. So there you go. I'm going to talk a little bit about the FTDX101D. It's kind of an interesting number they chose for that radio. So for all of you folks that were born this century, the FT101 was a kind of a very famous radio for Yaesu. It goes back a long ways. People still use them. Icom has famously had a couple of SDR radios come out, 7300, and then their the new one they came out with was the 7610, and it's been available for some time. And of course, that was a big deal over in Icom's booth. But if you're in the ASUS booth, and you can see what I'm talking about by looking at that video that I have the link for, the radio was sitting in a enclosure. And so you'll see the videos, the guy walking around the radio, taking the video of it. He's got one of the reasons I picked that video, he has really good imagery of it and see a lot of detail. So why the plastic box? The reason they have the plastic box, and this isn't any special knowledge I have of ASUS, this is what the people do, companies do. They don't want you touching the buttons. Because if you touch buttons, they might break. The radio could be anywhere from a like a prototype with prototype firmware on it to being a box with a Raspberry Pi in it that's just keeping the screen busy. You really don't know. And part of the reason for putting it in the plastic box is to make it so that people can't really find out. Particularly, they would be sensitive to intelligence gathering efforts by the competition, and so they want people to keep their hands off of it. So it's really impossible today. I mean, the radio could be almost done, or it could be they know how big the box is now and what the buttons are going to be, and you know where the screen is, that type of stuff. So that's why it was in a box. Interestingly, Kenwood has come out with an SDR HF rig. I think it's the TS890S, which they also displayed in a clear box. So everything that I just said about clear boxes applies to Kenwood as well. So anybody, did anybody who attended the Hamvention take a good look at both of those radios and have any comments on that? This is K9EQ.
KC9IL.
Very good, sir. What are your observations? And you would know, because you have the thing from the third booth, which is the ICOM 7610. Go ahead, Warren.
Well, yes, indeed, and good evening there, Chris. Well, I spent some time talking to John Krug about the ASU, and you know, after I tried to ask one of the other representatives there, just you know, where is this going to be ballpark? Is it going to be $5,000, $10,000? And he was very evasive, but John was willing to share that you know they're looking to tier their product. You know, they've got the entry level and the lower end analog product, and then they've got the you know the 3,000, the 5,000, and this would be up above that. It certainly looks much more like some of the higher end rigs. So while he would not comment on a price, I walked away with the impression that this is likely to be their flagship. And, you know, it looked very impressive and from what you could see. The Kenwood, on the other hand, you know, it's alleged to be a non-SDR. And we're not sure where that sits. We're not sure if that's above or below the 990. And again, they were pretty tight-lipped at the Kenwood booth as well. So I guess we'll just kind of have to figure out when the pricing is announced and more of the features are announced where those guys sit. I just found it a bit odd that Kenwood is now the only one of the big three that really doesn't have a high-end or any kind of end SDR. So that's kind of my observation from nosing around there at the booth. Back to you, Chris. KC9IL.
Okay, and I should make a comment about SDR. SDR is a technique for solving a problem. So you want to build a HF receiver, and there are different ways you can do it. And in a software-defined receiver, you're basically digitizing a portion of the RF spectrum and then using firmware to turn that into usable information. Flux Radio is one of the, it's probably about the leading company as far as HF SDRs. They've been doing it for a long time. And their radios are what I would say are truly an SDR. They have it set up so you can load third-party applications. So like, you know, we've got FT8 and some of these digital modes. And let's say a new digital mode comes along. Well, you can load an application into the radio to process that new method of modulation. They're capable, the Flux radios are capable of receiving a very wide part of the HF spectrum and recording it. So, for example, you can record the 40-meter band for a while, and when you play it back, you can tune around on it, all the CW and single sideband and slow scan television signals, you can go and look at. So you can actually record the entire 40-meter band and play it back. So to me, part of the SDR, I mean, let's face it, the Baofeng Handy Talkie is an SDR. So that doesn't mean just because it's an SDR, it's a good radio. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be better than a radio that has more analog processing. It's just a different way of solving the problem. An SDR does let you do some things that you would otherwise not be able to do. And that's typically associated with, you know, this wide bandwidth stuff, plus loading different software to go and enjoy a different mode of operation. So it'll be interesting to see what Yaesu does with it and if their approach differs from what ICOM has chosen to do. So that's probably all we want to do on that. Let me just make a couple more observations. With respect to the handheld receiver, AOR, go to yaesu.com, and when you go there, probably the first thing you'll see is that first item at the top of the page is that receiver. They actually have the owner's manual online for that now. So I think that's real close to being available. At hamoperator.com, we have the links to the YouTube video from Yaesu of the session, and this handout that Ron was able to capture, and then also the video of the FTDX 101. And I do agree that that's got to be the very top of their HF line. And my personal feeling is that you're probably not going to really see that radio available till the end of the year. The just an aside here, the picture at hamoperator.com. I just, this last week, got myself a brand new FT818 QRP radio. I've accessorized it a little bit, and in the picture you get to see the accessories that I added to the radio. So that's another view of how you can run a QRP with a nice little radio. But of course, the accessories are somewhat 20 times bigger than the radio. Let's throw it out to the folks who were at Hamvention. Well, I know what I want to do. N0JOL, are you in a spot you can talk?
Sure, go ahead, N0JOL.
Okay, Joe, you spent some time wandering around at Hamvention looking at all the different booths. I wonder if you could just give us a kind of a general impression of the different booths, of course, the big guys, you know, Kenwood, ICOM, Yaesu, and some of the other stuff that you saw there.
All right. Well, just a little bit about me is I prefer the junk and the garbage and the antiquated stuff more than the new fancy stuff. But I did manage to get around the venue quite a bit. I will say, For those of you that haven't been to the new location in Xenia, it is certainly, I feel anyway, a lot nicer than Nahara as far as the buildings, the cleanliness, the accessibility, all that was pretty good. They did do a lot of improvements over last year out in the flea market area. They brought in some regrind asphalt to make roads, which was a huge improvement. As far as the inside, where the new stuff and new fun stuff is, they also do a very nice job there. Kenwood's got a very nice area in one building, another building Yaesu, another building Icon. They kind of have the big guys spread out there a little bit. So it's and certainly no major congestion to speak of. For how many people that attend there, if you guys haven't been there, it's easy enough to access and talk to different people at the booths. So I'm trying to think of what I saw, Chris, that was really new and exciting. You're right on the radio at Yaesu, it was in a plastic bubble. But again, I'm trying to think of what else was fun. I looked at a few nice Bengali keys that I can't afford. Wow, you caught me at a blank. I'll send it back to you, Chris, N0JOL.
Okay, one of the things that was interesting was in the past, so there's something a little different this year. In the past, a store like Ham Radio Outlet would have their Dayton Hamvention pricing available online. And in some cases, there was. There wasn't as much activity with pricing this year, it seems like, as there was last year. However, there was an anomaly, and that was, I think it was Main Trading, was selling the FTM 7250, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, was $220, and the lowest online price I could find, I think, was $260. Go ahead, Joe.
That is correct. Main Trading blew everybody's pricing away and had a reasonably large supply. Again, I forget exactly the price on the FT-70s. I believe Ron bought one, but something like 130-something rings a bell for an FT-70. It was 219 for the 7250, and I forget... if I look in the bag, I forget what the one I picked up for you, the 3207. But it was much lower than anybody else online anywhere. N0JOL.
Okay, very good. Well, on hamoperator.com, and we have the live reports under the last heard list. We also keep track of all the different radios that we've detected. And so I reset back those counters just before Hamvention. So we are seeing 7250s climb up a little bit. We've out of 312 detections, we have four of those. We have four DR2Xs. We should see zero DR2Xs, but there's four of them there. So you can look that stuff up on hamoperator.com and see who... the call sign is going to be there. We'll see all the news stations. Yeah, and I guess the 3207 was 145 because I think someone got one for me. But that you had to be there. So that was the maybe there's a little incentive for going to Hamvention, or at least having a friend going to Hamvention, which I found works out pretty well when you want to get a good price on something. And so let's turn it over to Ron, AB8DT. What are your observations? And since you got an FT-70, what was the pricing on that?
Well, Chris, I guess I should have conversed more with Joel. I did run into him a couple times out in the flea market, and we chatted for a while, and then he was kind of stranded in our tent area while it rained, so he hung out for a while. And But I got a little, I guess, buyer's remorse now. I should have went to main trading. But I went around and I saw the best price for myself was R&L. And so I went to R&L Electronics and I got it there for, it was $159.99 is what I picked it up for, so just $160. So I did not check out main trading, so that was my fault and my bad. But that's where I picked up the cable too. So I got the two cables there. One was $15 and some change, and I think the other one was the SCU 19 was like 84 and some change, if I could find my receipts here quick enough, which it doesn't look like I'm going to. So, but yeah, there was I didn't really check the price out of anything else. I was just kind of going for a few items and trinkets that I was going for, and wound up getting everything on my list and then some, which of course all had to be explained in triplicate forms when I got home. But it was a pretty good time, and I got the same take, you know, as Joel, as far as everything being spread out, and that was kind of nice. So yeah, the 84, was it 84? Yeah, so it was 59.80, I'm sorry, 59.80 for the SCU 19 is what I paid for it, and then the 15.10 for the CT-44, along with the HD at $159.95. Back to net, AB8DG.
Okay, I guess we have a question here about the HRI-less mode of operation. The, or this is a question. Okay, the software isn't... Okay, I'm going to back up a bit. The question is, does it only work with the 400 XDR and not the 400 DR. Does anybody have any information on that? I'm going to jump in here. And with the benefit of not having a clue, I'll give you an answer. I don't think it's going to make a difference. There is substantially no difference between the FTM 400 XDR and the 400 DR. And depending upon when you bought it, if you bought one of the very last 400 DRs, it's virtually identical to the XDR. The only difference was a change to the GPS. There were, however, about four major revisions to the 400, but they're not identified by a new model number. And having a guess at what they're doing, I don't think it makes any difference. Plus, when John was talking about it, he did not make any comment that, you know, he just said it was all FT2s, FTM100s, and FTM400s. I'm looking for somebody to give a good description of the Yaesu booth. So if you're that person, get ready. There was an FT2 stolen from the booth. So, you know, they had like two guards on the FTDX 101. And from the pictures that I saw, it looked like a really impressive booth. They had everything there and that type of thing. So I'll just mention on the side here that the Fusion radios have a unique transmitter ID built into them at the factory. So it's completely independent of your call sign. You can put any call sign in you want. The Fusion system, or the WireSec system, actually doesn't use the call sign for anything, anything much. It's used a little bit. It's that transmitter ID, or the DP ID, Delta Papa ID, as Yaesu calls it. And If you do look at the last heard list, say on ham operator, you will see those same transmitter IDs next to the call sign and that type of thing. So my message to everybody with a Fusion radio is make sure you know your own DP ID or your transmitter ID. You can go in the, I think it's in the group mode menu, and the radio will tell you what it is, and write that down. It'll be letters, numbers, and letters will be uppercase and lowercase. The reason you want to write it down is that should your radio go missing, we have computers, and we can tell the computers to look for that transmitter ID. So right now, the computers that I have here only look on MinWiz, but that can always change, and we can share the technology with other popular rooms. And may, at some point, we may get a stolen radio list. So if your radio should become missing and you happen to know what your transmitter or DPID is, we can then add it to the list that the computer is searching for. And should that radio ever appear on the air again in MinWiz or any of the monitored rooms, we'll know right away what the call sign is associated with it. So hopefully that feature makes it a lot less advantageous to steal Fusion radios. But just keep that in mind. Write down that transmitter ID, probably find it in the group mode. Make sure you have it, because there's no documentation that you have when you bought the radio that includes that information. So back to my previous question. Anybody out there want to give us a description of the Yaesu booth? How about you, Warren? You up for it?
Sure, I'll give it a shot. It was a nice large booth. As I stood at the aisle and looked out towards the outside, you had the little table on your left had a 991 on it. The Fusion rigs were located at that one quarter. And then a little bit further down, you had the big table where they had just piles and piles of hats. And the Yaesu hats this year are actually very sharp. They're a nice powder blue. They had a little embroider in there for WRTC 18. So that was pretty slick. Then you had all the handhelds on the other side. So there were ample things to play with. And, of course, they had the 817 out. And then you had the rest of their HF line, and then the new 101 was under glass on the right side there. So there was ample room. You know, it was not body to body. You could wander around and grab some literature, talk to the people. There were ample people out there, including Mark Thompson, WB9QZB, was there. I had a nice chat with a fellow from New York who was volunteering at the booth, and we talked a little bit about some of the cool things that he is doing with his repeaters. And I had mentioned your name, and he knew you. I want to say his name was Tom, but it escapes me. But nice fella, and I think another guy was at the table when I walked up and was looking at the FT818, and just mentioned, I suppose you've already heard the complaints, and if you have, I won't do it again. And he says, well, no, actually, I haven't. So I went on to give him my views of what they could have done or should have done as opposed to what they did with that model. So that's kind of a quick rundown. Back to you there, Chris.
Okay, very good. Well, from the pictures, it was a fairly impressive booth. And it seemed like, at least from my vantage point, at 640 miles airline, judging from the GPS, the people who were there, it looked like a good booth. And I guess there's a lot of activity in the ICOM, and the Yaesu booth probably, I don't know, had more activity, and Kenwood not so much. But Kenwood doesn't seem to spend as much on development. You know, I've got one of their dual band V71A radios, and I got to say that design is 20 years old. still does some things pretty well. Has a horrible receiver in it, but there you go. Anyway, Steve, if you are there, I think this would be a good time to go and grab some more check-ins, and let's get people with traffic who have questions about Hamvention, and we'll turn them over to our Hamvention experts. And that would include people who are at Hamvention that might want to add some comments. So, Steve, why don't you go ahead and take it? This is K9EQ.
All right, sounds good, Chris. All right, so we're looking for traffic, specifically Hamvention feedback, Hamvention questions about observations, products, or what you've heard tonight. So, if you have traffic from anywhere, anywhere, I should say, please come now with your call sign, your name, your city, your state, and looking specifically with for people with traffic. Please come now. All right, no takers. Let's go back to Koi. Are you still out there, Kilo 5, Kilo Oscar Yankee? I remember you had some, or you had a question. So, Koi, you still out there? Let's see if that'll rouse some interest. So, Koi, why don't you grab it if you're still there? N0YQ.
Yeah, N01Q, and the net, this is K5KO1. Well, you know, turns out that Chris asked the same question that I was going to ask, and it concerned the show in general, you know, the attendance, pricing was my main interest. And he asked it much more eloquently than I ever would, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Just remind everybody that didn't get to go to Hamvention this year. That, you know, HamComs, like, less than 2 weeks away, June 8th, 9th, and 10th here in the Dallas area. They've actually moved it from Irving last year. I think it was Irving. I don't know. Granbury, somewhere over there. Now they're moving it to Plano. This is its first year back in Plano. And it's a pretty big show, biggest in Texas. And one of the bigger ones around. So I'm going to be going to that and thought I could get some ideas about pricing. But anyway, that's all I had. Chris took care of it for me. I understand what to look forward to now. And we'll just bid everybody a 73. Hope you have a good evening and back to net control. This is K5KO1.
All right, thank you, Koi. And I do want to acknowledge a couple people who have checked in here. We have, if I missed this one before, Kilo 3 United Charlie Bravo David out of Boyne, Maryland, I believe that is. Then we had Kilo 9 Bravo Delta Hotel Brad out of Metamora, Illinois, and Brad checked in via email. And then we just had a Kiev by Kilo Charlie Zero Zulu Delta Bravo Dick. We got you in there. And that's on the list there. So let's take one more round of check-ins here, specifically for people who have questions, feedback, anything on Hamvention. Anyone, anywhere, any feedback or questions on Hamvention, now's your chance. Please come out with your call sign, your name, your city, your state.
W4IOD Otis, Stamping Ground, Kentucky, with a comment about Hamvention.
Whiskey 1, Delta United Delta, recheck.
All right, we got Otis and Paul. So, Otis, why don't you grab it first? Whiskey 4, India, Oscar Delta. Why don't you grab it there?
N0YQ, W4IOD, Otis here in Stamping Ground, Kentucky. I just wanted to make a comment about the main trading company, and we did stop in there, and I hadn't planned on buying FD-70, but I made a comment with some of the guys I went with, I said, well, you know, if I could find one for around $150, I'd buy it. And I had to be a man of my word because it was $149.95 for the FT-70, and they had the FT-2 there for $317. I already had an FT-2, but maybe I should have scarfed another one knowing that I could use it as a mobile node for the Wires X, but they hadn't made that announcement yet. But I believe they ended up selling out, and I can see why. But actually, no one could touch their prices, and we're thankful we were allowed to get in there. I've actually got it programmed. It's a nice radio, so we benefited from that. And like Coy says, they'll probably do something for the event there in Texas. So a word to the wise, if you can't make it, maybe you can call them on the phone and get the same price. But they seem like a reputable business and good folks to do business with. That's pretty much all we've got. We're just listening in and enjoying some of the comments made. It sounds like everybody's tired, but... we'll turn it back to you, Steve, N0YQ, W4IOD.
All right, Otis, thank you for that feedback. And next we have Paul, Whiskey 1 Delta Union Delta. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Steve, W1DOD. I just have a quick question about the new update on the Wires X, where you can plug the radio into the computer directly. It's directed at Chris. I believe he said, I think the model is the CT-117, the small box. How is there any advantage to that? Because the price of that is either similar or a little bit more expensive than the HRI-200. I was thinking it might be a good idea because I'm going on vacation to do the update, but if I'm going to have to spend the same amount of money as my HRI-200, I might as well just take that with me and just set the note up at my vacation spot. Back to you, Steve. W1DUD.
All right, and let's get that right over to Chris. So, Chris, do you want to grab that one?
Yeah, I think what you're referring to is the Yaesu sells a box which basically does a conversion of like their CAT interface to USB, and it does a couple of other things too. I don't remember what it is. And that's for something entirely different. In the case of all these radios, you're just going to need a cable to connect it to the computer. In the case of the FTM-100 and 400, as I understand it, it's just one of commonly available USB cables that you use. In the case of the FT2DR, you need to buy this SCU-19 cable, which has a serial to USB converter on it. And then there's another cable that you need that separates the wiring on the single pin for the mic and speaker into separate speaker and mic, so you can run that into the computer. It seems like you probably do need more than just the serial interface going between the radio and the computer, so I'm not exactly sure how they're doing it. They might have some hardware magic in the radio, but... my understanding is that you just need a cable, standard USB cable, so it should be a very low-cost option to do. And depending upon when your vacation is, you may not have to worry about making that choice, because I doubt that we'll see any firmware update and software update until, you know, say, the beginning of August. Sooner if we're lucky. Back to net.
All right, Paul, did that answer your questions or question?
Yes, it did, Steve. I appreciate the feedback, and thank you, Chris, for everything. I did communicate with you when I had a problem back about a month ago with YSX, and I appreciate all your feedback, so... 73 to all. Back to net control. This is W1DUD.
All right, thanks, Paul, and Chris, thanks for the answers. Let's do another round here. Another round for those who have traffic questions, feedback about the Hamvention show, or anything you've heard tonight. If you have anything for us, please come now with your call sign, your name, your city, state, and we'll get you on the air here.
W9 November, Mike, Indianapolis, Indiana. Question about the create capture buffer failed message in WiresX software.
All right, Noel, why don't you come ahead with your question, and we'll get either Pete or Chris, we'll get Chris to answer it. Go ahead, Noel.
W9NMM. After a Microsoft update recently here, the security update is KB4103721, I'm now getting a create capture buffer failed message, and the code is 8000-4005, and this message comes from the WiresX software. And apparently that's something that's needed because I can't seem to communicate with anybody. I can hear people, but I can't seem to get my signal out onto the internet to go through the WiresX there. And I saw somebody else had this problem on, they posted it on the Yaesu forum. And the only answer so far was to restore a backup of your system before this update. And I don't have a backup of it, so I can't restore it.
All right. Well, Noel, let's get this one over to Chris and see if he has a quick answer for you. And then we'll do one more round of Hamvention check-in. So, Chris, do you want to talk to Noel here about the create capture fail message? Why don't you grab it?
My condolences, Noel. I was debating whether to bring this subject up or not and mix it up with Hamvention. And I was just looking over at my Windows 10 computer, and during the net here, it's downloaded 3.63 gigabytes, and I'm thinking to myself, why did it do that? I'll tell you why I did that, is I have a Windows update awaiting me. Here's the deal. Microsoft does major updates to Windows 10 about every 6 months. The one that was due in March, sometimes called the Spring Creators Update, had been delayed. And they are just now rolling it out to a different computer. So not everybody gets it at the same time. If you have Windows 10, you can go and click the Start window, go to Settings, and then from Settings, click on System and About, and scroll down a little bit, and there'll be a version number. So mine right now says 1709. It's probably going to say 1803 after I reboot. So Yaesu has had reports, Noel, of exactly what you described happening. So you are not the only one. They also have numerous reports of people are doing just fine and not having a problem at all. And they have not been able to figure out what's going down, and it is associated with doing the update to Windows 1803. Let me take a break. And I'm offended, Steve, you saying that I'd have a short answer. Anyway, your resolution for the moment probably lies with Microsoft and not Yaesu. There is an option, and since I haven't done it, I don't know where it is. Pete might be able to add more to this. That let's put it this way. This isn't the only thing that's been having problems with the Windows 10 update. And I suspect corporations have been holding off and things like that, and depending upon what version you have, you can hold off too. I think if you have the standard home version, though, you're limited. But there is a mechanism that allows you, Microsoft provides a mechanism for you to roll back to 1709, and then your stuff should work again. Let's turn it over to Pete and see if Pete has any information about how one might roll back to 1709. Go ahead, Pete.
I have to admit that I don't know the answer to that. At my place of employment, we've been avoiding Windows 10 for exactly these reasons, so we're going to be milking Windows 7 for all it's worth for the next year or whatever they're going to give us left of support, so I can't be of any help there, sorry.
I'd suggest throwing it out there, Steve, and see if anybody else has the answer.
All right. Anyone else care to discuss the Windows 10? Well, Chris, how do you phrase that question for everyone?
How somebody who has the latest version of Windows, current version of Windows, roll it back to the previous version. This is best done as quickly as you can after the new version has been installed. And like I say, there are ways the Windows 10 owners can, if you, depending on the version you have, you may or may not be able to hold off on getting the update. And I should mention, in any case, Noel, you should contact Yaesu and let them know about the problem. They are trying to figure it out, so I would, I would send an email, probably the best thing to do, to their service department, you know, give them the usual information about what's going on. And I would say this is true for anybody who is having this problem, and let them know about it. They might have, if you don't do the rollback, they might have some things they want you to try. They themselves have not experienced it. The last I heard, they don't have any computers that are experiencing this problem. So that, of course, makes it harder to debug. But anyway, I guess I'll throw it out there and say anybody with information on Windows 10 about rolling back to a previous version, come now.
W9HPX with a different solution.
K0LDO with some information.
Okay, let's take them in that order. W9HPX, what's your different solution?
Okay, thank you, Chris. To bring back the WiresX connectivity on both of the DR1Xs that I did, here's what I did. I went to Windows 10 settings. I went to privacy. I went under privacy, under app permissions, to microphone, and make sure that you turn on the slide switch that says allow apps to access your microphone, and then reboot everything and see if it works. It worked for me. Back to Chris, W9HPX.
Very interesting. Noel, I wonder if you would like to be a guinea pig and give that a try. There doesn't seem to be any disadvantage to doing it. And, you know, that solution absolutely makes sense because Microsoft is, of course, under a lot of heat for privacy things. And there's been all this kerfuffle about applications that can turn on your microphone and listen to you and whatever. You know, people put the little tape over their cameras, that kind of stuff. So that doesn't surprise me that that would fix the problem. But what probably happens is when that privacy setting is turned on, the WiresX software, of course, has no clue about this, and all it sees is it's not able to make a connection to the audio input that it wants. And then it just doesn't handle it well, and, you know, it just dies a painful, screaming death and leaves you with that that message. So, Noel, if you'd be willing to be a guinea pig and let us know about that. And let's see K0LDO, Michael, what information you might have.
Exactly. I'd like to chime in with this. My experience was exactly the same, except that I went into my privacy settings and I checked the microphone settings, and the microphone settings were just fine. And I exited out of there, and I went back, and I still had the problem. And then what I did was I went back and I looked in my update settings in Windows 10 and discovered that the feature update had not been installed. The feature update. Who knew? And so I went back and I went through, very painful trying to install the feature update. It takes a long time. Installed the feature update and suddenly everything was golden again. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. And this is from K0LDO in Brunswick, Maine. Good job, Net Control, tonight.
Okay, one follow-up question for you, Michael. When you're referring to feature update, are you referring to this major update from, like like going from 1709 to 1803, that type of thing, which would be, in my case, it looks like a little bit more than a 3 gigabyte download. Go ahead.
That's affirmative. Roger that. That is exactly the feature update that I am referring to. And it cleared up all of my problems here, all of my problems. I repeat, all of my problems.
Okay, very good. That makes sense also. By the way, you might want to back down the gain a little bit on your FT2. That makes sense also, so let me explain how that works. So in Michael's case, he was not accepting the major software updates. But yet, Microsoft was still sending minor security patches and things like that. And this would fall into that category. So he was getting a profile that was protecting the microphone from apps that might be snooping on it. And then turning it off didn't work. Because, of course, he's got the old version of Windows, and it doesn't know anything about that. So, hence, it needed the current version of Windows. So that's good input, too, because that might cause the previous recommendation to not work out well. So, anyway, Noel, good question. Excellent question. I'd be curious if you could check back with us and let us know how you make out with that problem. I'm really glad that you brought that up because Yesu had reached out to us here at Minwiz to see what we could find out about it. And so this really helps, and I'll definitely make sure Yesu knows about this. So it would be nice to get confirmation back from you, Noel. You can reach us via email at net@hamoperator.com, net@hamoperator.com, and whatever your experiences are, we'll get them back to Yesu. And if you still have problems, I would say you need to contact Yesu and let them know what's going on. Back to Net K9EQ.
Net Control, W9NMM.
Any additional comments before we do a final round of check-ins? I'll turn it back to you just for a minute. N0YQ here, Steve out of Montemite.
W9HPX with one more comment on the Windows update.
All right. Chris, let's hold off for a second. We have Noel back, and then we have W9HPX. So, Noel, why don't you grab it first here? Whiskey 9, November, Mike. Go ahead.
I did message through the Yesu's website
and send in the information about it, what version of the software I have and all that kind of stuff. And that was today, and I haven't heard anything back yet. And I will poke around with those settings there and see what happens, and I can let you know on the through the email there tomorrow, probably, tomorrow or Wednesday, if I have any success with this. Thank you very much for the help. I'll give this stuff a try and email any positive results I have. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Noel. And Roland, I didn't mean to cut you guys off. I'm glad you're back. So go ahead, Roland.
Okay. One thing I always check after a Windows update is in the device manager if the USB port power management is still turned off. Unchecked, allow the computer to turn off this device to save power. This particular update turned those on, so you're going to have to go back in there and turn those off. W9HPX, back to net control.
All right, thank you for that, Roland. And yeah, Noel, if you could check back next week, I think people will be interested in hearing what you find, but thanks to all on that. So, Chris, we'll go back to you one more time. Any additional comments from you before we take a final round of hamvention-related check-ins? Why don't you grab it there, Chris?
Okay, thanks, Steve. I just wanted to mention we have the links for Hamvention 2018, a couple YouTube videos, and that handout, which is not horribly informative. If other things come our way that aren't generally available, we'll throw them up there as well. We're doing something a little bit different tonight. The net is being recorded. We will put that recording up on Ham Operator. So where you would get to that on Ham Operator is you would go to hamoperator.com. At the top, it's got a Fusion Net. You would click on that, and you'll see a list of all our nets down there. And what you get when you click on those is you get a kind of the spreadsheet that your net control stations use to keep track of things and communicate with each other. And you'll see one that's there that has part of a net already recorded. So tonight's date, which would be the 21st of May, you'll see to the right of that link to the MP3 recording of this net. So if you miss something, or you want to, I don't know why you would, maybe insomnia, I don't know, play it on a repeater net or that type of thing, feel free to do so. But give me a few days to get the stuff up there. So anyway, that was what I wanted to mention, that that's being recorded here, the good bits, and we'll put it up on hamoperator.com at that FusionNet page. Really appreciate the input from all the folks who attended the Hamvention. Sounds like it was a great adventure, and the rain continued to enjoy the Hamfest and visit it this year. And I really appreciate comments and feedback that I got during Hamvention from a couple of folks, including AB8DT, N0JOL, and KB9AIT. Anyway, back to you, Steve. And we'll let you finish off with names. This is, you don't like I have a choice. Back to you, Steve, K9EQ.
All right, gotcha, Chris. All right, this is last call. Last call if you have feedback or questions on Hamvention. And this is, again, this is the Monday Night System Fusion Net, Talking Amateur Radio Society. Last call, If you have any feedback or questions on Hamvention, please come now with your call sign, your name, your city, state, or province, and we'll get you on here before we shut it down. All right, no takers. Well, just a reminder, this net meets here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Daylight Time. Cover all things fusion. I want to thank you for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to do so to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is NZYQ and Steve Adamanamide, and I will be clear. 7-3, everyone.